Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5. In verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We are justified by faith because of our relationship that faith brings to Christ. By this relationship, we also have peace with God, and through Christ, we also have access, which in the original language is referring to privilege to enter, by the means of faith, into grace. Grace, we must understand, is a government. It is the gift of God. It is the kindness of God, yes, in Ephesians 2, 7 and 8, but is also His government. This is the place where we receive our protection. This is the place where we receive our provision, because it is the government of God. This is the place where we have a life with Him, and in that life, we respond to Him, and He gives us the fullness of life because we are responding to Him. We stand in this grace. The word stand there is hestikamen in the original language. It's a perfect active intransitive indicative of histimi. Now, it means to be present and firmly established. Because it's intransitive, this will not change. It's a present tense. That means it has been completed once and for all in the past, and it has present and continuing results. Those results will never change. Forever, we are going to be in the grace of God. When we are in heaven, we are going to be the recipients of God's grace in the way of His kindness in Ephesians 2:7. Forever, this is going to last. Forever. There is no end to this for the believer. We enter into this by faith. We rejoice, boast, in hope. Hope is elpis. It's a confident expectation of the glory of God. Glory is doxa. Most people think it's glory as in splendor. Sometimes people think glory as in reflected light. Type glory, but in actuality, it's speaking about a good opinion concerning someone, resulting in praise, honor, and glory. So we have confident expectations because of grace, and we boast in this, that we will have a good opinion toward us from God, resulting in praise and honor. This comes by faith. It must come by faith. There's no other way. Because faith, think about this for a minute, is the mechanism of our existence. Faith is the mechanism of our existence. Why do I have confident expectation? Because faith is the mechanism of my existence. In Matthew 7:23, there are some people who will face God once they pass into eternity, and Jesus will say to them, "Depart from me, I never," a time reference, "knew you, you that work iniquity." In Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. This is why Jesus didn't know them, because in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Christ removes all sin. In Psalm 103:12, it removes it from time. Hence the time reference by Jesus, "I never knew you." Their entire life, never having had a moment of faith, thereby they never got saved, thereby Jesus never knew them as a result of the blood of Christ removing all sin from time. It is the means by which we exist in reality, faith is. As God has made it. God created all things. part of it is reality as it exists. Faith is our place within that reality. Those people who never had faith, they never had a place in that reality, therefore they were taken out of time by the blood. That's also why they have no place found for them in heaven, because they're taken out of time by the blood. Faith is our place within reality as God has made it. This is the essence of what it means to be justified. It's something that we've been introduced into and we stand in it and we enjoy all of it. We enjoy its privileges. We enjoy its advantages. We enjoy all that it is, including its government and its kindness. We experience it by faith, and that becomes our confident expectation, our hope. Now, often you talk about hope, but people don't really understand what hope is. We talk about hope as though it's a wishful thought. I really hope the Ravens win. I really hope it doesn't snow tomorrow, or that it does if you're a 10-year-old kid. It's a wishful thought, but this is not biblical hope. This is not the hope that we are supposed to have. We are not supposed to have a wishful thought. We are supposed to have a confident expectation because we live in reality. Now, there are people who go through difficulties, and they think those difficulties are somehow problems. But it's only because they lack this confident expectation that comes through faith that brings them into grace. And if I realize that I'm in grace, what else can I have but confident expectation? In verse 3 of chapter 5 there, but not only this, that is to say, not only do we rejoice in the hope, the confident expectation of God's praise, not only this, but we also boast or take pride in afflictions. Now, this is one that gives people pause. Very few people actually boast in their afflictions. Most people are dreading their afflictions. And I don't blame them from the human sense. Afflictions, by their nature, are unpleasant. They're challenging. They often challenge our emotions, and that's where the negativity comes from. But he says, I boast or take pride in my afflictions, knowing that affliction produces patient endurance. Affliction produces it. Affliction produces patient endurance. Why do I have such confident expectation from God? Because I've seen God come through. And though I believed Him to come through, and I didn't expect Him to not come through, I've actually experienced Him coming through. Patient endurance produces character. God's character. It's a proven character. A character that has been tested and withstood the test. Thinking with God. And then proven character does produce that confident expectation which does not disappoint us. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, in our frame of reference by the Holy Spirit. I know He loves me. I know He's kind to me. In the affliction, you will learn the kindness of God. Because of the kindness of God, you will see Him come through. You will experience His deliverance. You will experience Him fighting on your behalf. You will experience His protection. You will experience Him in the reality of your day-to-day life. And that will produce in you a confident expectation toward Christ. You will no longer say to yourself, oh, I dread that situation. I don't know how it's going to come through. you're going to say to yourself, it doesn't much matter what that situation is, God is going to come through. You have a confident expectation. Why? Because He came through before. You have a history of seeing God coming through. You have a history of God taking care of you. In Matthew 25:11, when we go through that, and this is the glory that Paul is talking about in Romans 5, God will say to us, because we have undergone these afflictions and developed a confident expectation toward Him, therefore able to make right decisions in difficult circumstances, He will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the rest of your Lord. No more affliction here, buddy. No more affliction. Come on in. You are faithful in your affliction, the few afflictions that you really got, and you are faithful, well done. And now you're going to rule over many things. That is a privilege that cannot be overestimated. It's an issue that God makes a big deal out of. These rewards and the reigning that we have with Christ, that's what we want. God makes a huge deal out of this. And therefore, you know it's a big deal. In Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand the ages have been prepared by the Word of God. Why do I have confident expectation? Because I believe God. What evidence is there that I can believe God? By faith we understand that the ages, that is to say the universe, the King James says worlds, but really the word means perpetuity in the past and the future. Time and all that populates it. In both directions. In all directions. We think of time as one directional. It's not one directional. When God spread out the heavens, He spread it out in all directions. We understand that the eternity and everything that it contains has been prepared by the Word of God for the things being visible not to have come from the things being seen. They only come from the things that are not seen. They only come by faith in the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is not just a book. It's contained in the Bible, but it's not just the book. By the way, all of the Bible is the Word of God. I'm not trying to say contained in the Bible as though there's other things contained in the Bible. The entire thing, Genesis to Revelation, is the Word of God. That had the power to create everything. That Word of God had the power to create time, to create the universe, to create everything. Literally everything. Now, there is a law in physics that you cannot get something out of nothing. Whether it be matter or energy, you cannot get something out of nothing. But the Word of God is quick and it's powerful. The original power that formed and provided the substrate, the material necessary for the formation of time and the universe, was the Word of God. It's not that you got something out of nothing, it's that you got everything out of the Word of God. That has power, that has substance. That is real. As a matter of fact, it's so real that astrophysicists tell us, people like Craig Hogan of the Fermi Institute, the Fermi Institute is perhaps the most prestigious think tank in the world for physicists. This guy and others tell us that the universe, the vastness of it, the substance that creates the fabric of it, is made of information. And we know that that information is the Word of God, just like the Bible tells us. Physics is finally catching up after 6,000 years. In the beginning, John 1:1, God created the heavens. That means that the Word of God created all three of the heavens, the atmosphere, the universe, and the abode of God. It's talking about all three heavens and the earth. That is the only thing that populated that vastness within the universe at that point of creation. Now, in heaven, you had many events. Because God created time, time works differently in every inertial frame of reference. 2 Peter 3:8 tells us that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as 1 day. That means that within heaven, in that first day, you could have easily had 1,000 years passing by. All the events that took place in heaven that was created by the Word of God, the entire plan that God established through His Word was established in heaven, and all these events, including the Ezekiel 28:15-18 fall of Lucifer to become Satan, all took place within the first few hours on earth. Now think of something. Relatively recently, just a little over 100 years ago, Einstein gave us relativity. A few decades ago, we realized that quantum mechanics, the physics of the exceedingly small, even exists. And it's a very strange universe indeed, quantum mechanics tells us. God simply spoke, and it had the power to come into being. This is why we have confident expectation. Because the things that are seen are made of the things not seen. Because reality exists. And faith is our entry into that reality. It's our place in it. If I refuse my place through faith into reality, God will remove me by His blood from time. Faith, in Hebrews 11:1, is the assurance or substance, the material. Actually, in the original language, the structural foundation of things hoped for. Or you can say things being confidently expected. And it's the confident assurance, proof of things not seen. This faith of ours is extremely real. And very powerful. When Jesus said, by faith, if you don't doubt, you can move mountains, He was serious. This faith of ours is very powerful. However, it's not simple believism. A confident expectation, really, which is the application of faith in my thinking, is based in reality. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. This is based in reality. It's the very same Word of God that was spoken to create literally everything that exists anywhere in the entire universe and in eternity. You want to know what eternity is going to be about? Eternity is going to be about the Word of God. It's going to be grace toward us and unbelievable kindness, but ultimately, the substance of eternity is the Word of God. And faith is the result of that Word, what it creates in us, our connection and our place within reality. And so we have tremendous confident expectation toward anything God says, anything that God does, because it's all based in this reality. Now, in Hebrews 10:23, the Word of God says, "He who promised is faithful." Therefore, we have confident expectation without wavering. In Titus 1:2, we have a confident expectation of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Before Genesis 1:1, God made a promise. The promises of God cannot lie because God cannot lie. So we have a confident expectation. Why? Because we have a promise. And that promise toward us was given before the universe even existed, before time even existed, before eternity even existed. That tells us that the things that God created, He created for us. Yes, the angels, of course, obviously have a place, but I'm not talking to angels, I'm talking to people. He created it for us. He created it with a plan in mind, with a purpose in mind, and that purpose was us. Faith is our place with God. Faith is that place that puts us squarely in the created reality of God. Confident expectation is our mental manifestation of that faith. Why do I trust the promises of God? They are reality. Why do I trust God Himself? They are reality. Why do I trust the love of God? It is reality. It's more real than the chair that you're sitting in, than the ground you're standing on. It's more real than you and the air that you are breathing at this moment. It's more real. It cannot pass away. The confident expectation that I have cannot pass away. The only thing that's capable of removing anything from my life, from time, will not remove faith. In John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide us into all truth and He will show us the things to come. The promises of God are absolutely reliable because they are the things to come. When the Holy Spirit shows us the things to come, He's giving us the promises of God. Because in Genesis 1:1, God created all of time and everything that populates time, the things to come, in my perspective, are things that are already present in God's view. There is nothing that has not already been finished. The works were finished from the foundation of the world, from the structural foundation being laid for the entire universe, time and space. Hebrews 4:3. It's all been done. It's all in place. The plan of God has been executed. And on the seventh day, He rested because it's all there. And so the promises of God are absolute because they are present. I may not have reached them yet, but if I take a road trip and I drive to California, I will get to California, although I may not be there yet. And so the promises of God are in place. The Word of God is reliable. Everything is built on that Word of God, and reality tells me that the promises are there. They are a part of that reality. They are a part of God's creation because God created with His Word, and that includes His promises. The things to come are simply the promises of God. The Holy Spirit reveals these to me. Therefore, hope in the promises of God is a confident expectation because they are God's created reality. We rest in them because in Ecclesiastes 3:11, the Holy Spirit puts an eternal frame of reference in our heart. That's what John 16:13 is talking about. we see the promises before they come, because they're already given. How's this going to come out? I don't know. This is a tough situation. How's it going to come out? It's going to come out just fine. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be perfect. I don't know. Look at the circumstance. It doesn't much matter what the circumstances are. The circumstances don't determine anything. The circumstances aren't reflective of reality. Circumstances change on a dime. Promises are real. They don't change. The gifts and the calling of God are unchangeable. The Word of God is unchangeable. God Himself cannot change, nor can anything He does. Therein is your confident expectation. So many people approach faith as a wishful thought. Oh, I hope God does what He says. That would really be my wish. That's not a victorious thought. Oh, God will do what He said regardless, but man, your experience sure isn't going to be great. And God desires great experiences for every born-again believer, and how many of them actually have them? And a large part of that is there is no confident expectation because there is not real faith. Faith is not what I believe. Faith is what the Word of God develops in me. A lot of people believe a lot of weird things, and they're nothing but air. But faith comes from reality. That's why it's reliable. John 17:17, His word is truth. That truth is what builds my faith. John 5:6, truth in itself is a combination of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the blood of Christ. The Holy Spirit guides me in that truth, in the Word of God. The Word of God builds my frame of reference so I think with the mind of Christ. Therein is faith, and the blood of Christ removes everything that's not of faith, and therefore all truth that exists goes through the blood of Christ. Therein is truth. Doesn't much matter what your facts are, they better be faith or they're not actual facts. Facts are simply private interpretations of empirical data which may or may not be correct. And every time that the data changes, so do the facts. The prosecutor is convinced of the person he's prosecuting until evidence shows him otherwise. How many people are exonerated by evidence after they've been prosecuted, put into jail? The prosecutor said, this is an absolute fact. The jury agreed, the judge agreed, and then all of a sudden there's this evidence and they say, nope, not a fact at all. And that's just in the worldly realm. Truth is the Holy Spirit with the Word of God and the blood of Christ. Therein is truth. And I'm not saying that we don't have a judicial system. A judicial system is part of national entity, but don't think that it's truth. And it's not always fact. In 1 Corinthians 7:23, you were redeemed with a price. That price in 1 Peter 1:19 was the precious blood of Christ. As a result of that event, in 2 Corinthians 2:15-16, you became one person with Christ as the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, you have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. So you have an absolute relationship with God because you have been redeemed. You have become one person with the second member of the triune God because you have been redeemed. That same second member says that he and the Father are one and that the Holy Spirit is his spirit. You are one person with God. You have been redeemed. Therein is your confident expectation. Faith is your part in the formation of creation. You pray in faith, and God makes it come to pass. But when did he do that? Before the world began, before time existed. Because, as Einstein showed us, all points of time exist simultaneously. God created all points of time all at once. And though you have not encountered all points of your portion of time yet, it doesn't mean they're not in place. You just haven't gotten to them yet. They already exist. Your volition, your faith response to God is a part of the creation process. Because right now is still the first day in the beginning God created the heavens and earth is now, and your choices, your decisions as one with Christ are part of that formation. This is why you must live in faith. This is why the blood of Christ must remove anything not of faith, Romans 14:23 and 1 John 1:7 from time, Psalm 103:12. Because God protects his creation. But we're literally forming creation in our oneness with Christ through faith. And therein is our confident expectation. It's not a wishful thought. It's not even simply expectation, hoping that it comes to pass. I hope nothing happens on my trip so I can get there safely. You're already there. It's already happened. It's already in place. It's reality now. And by faith, you create the path to that reality. There's your confident expectation. Why can I have a confident expectation from God, regardless of what it is? Why can I have a confident expectation? Because it's reality that I'm confident in. You have an absolute relationship with the one who speaks everything into being. But because you're one with him, through prayer of faith, you speak it into being with him. So you pray and you expect. You don't pray and wish. You expect. In Hebrews 10:12, God offered one sacrifice for sins, that was his son. And then his son, the sacrifice, sat down in perpetuity at the right hand of God. In Ephesians 2:5, in the B part, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We are on the same throne of grace from which God created the heavens and the earth. How can you have anything other than a confident expectation? Do you know where you are? Do you know who you are? In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has been his body forever. And that means I have been in Christ forever. Remember, all points of time exist simultaneously. I didn't say I occupy all points of time. But the points of time that I occupy are forever. They are a part of eternity. And though I don't live in the linear progression of an experience of time forever in that sense, but from the perspective of God, which is the true perspective of what time is, we're already in eternity. Therein is our confident expectation. If I lack confident expectation, it's because I see time as a linear progression of events, one moment after another, one moment coming into existence after another passes out of existence. And that is not time. But that's how we see it. So how do I have a confident expectation toward what does not exist? The problem with that thinking is that it does exist, because time is not just a progression of moments. That book, Creation Relativity, by J. Palmer Douglas, talks about this. You can get it on Amazon. It's cheap. It gives you the foundation to understand what time is, and when you understand it, you start to see things in the Word of God you haven't seen before. Not new doctrine, but the understanding in a greater measure of existing doctrine. Time is an eternity, and by virtue of being in time, I have place with God in eternity. If I were an unbeliever, then every moment of my life, amounting to one great lack of belief, would be eliminated by the blood, because it would all simply, in Romans 14:23, be sin. And hence, in Matthew 7:23, Jesus would never know me. But because I had a moment of faith, a moment of reality, I can also have that faith be my practical way of thinking. I can have a confident expectation toward the redemption of God, because I'm already there. I don't have to wait for something to happen. I know that something has already happened. And we are there, seated above in heavenly places, at the right hand of God, with all the power of God. That's what the right hand speaks of. And so he says, command me the works of my hand. Command me the works of my power. And by it, we are participating with God in Genesis 1:1, in the formation of creation. There's nothing but confident expectation for the believer. In John 17:5, Jesus said, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. His glory in John 17:24 is his love. In Revelation 13:8, his love and faithfulness to us is the structural foundation upon which the entire universe, the world, everything was built, including his promises. Those promises are simply the details of his creation. Therein is our confident expectation. In a way, that word hope has been corrupted. You think God will do it? I hope so. Really? Do you think God will do it? I know so. How can you know? Because the Word of God created everything. And the promises of God are simply the things to come. And they're already in place. God has loved Christ before the foundation of the world in John 17:24. So He gave Him to be the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8 as the slain Lamb. And that's where the works were finished in Hebrews 4:3. Nothing else needs to be done. I don't even have to have big faith. I just need to have faith. And my faith is not a wish. My faith is my place in the reality that God created, because the Word that created that reality is my frame of reference. And that is also my confident expectation. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me so I can have eternal life with You. Amen."